I want to take you to an Old Testament text, Exodus chapter 2. And I want to look at verses 1 through 10 as we just think about mothers, gift of women that God has given to humanity. Amen. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I want to ask if you would stand as we read this scripture. And I would love to invite you to read it along with me. Let's begin with verse number 1. Let's read together. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." I'm sorry, I got stuck, man. Okay. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him." Amen. Amen. On your way to your seat, can you say unnamed but essential? Unnamed but essential. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Wow. This is one of those passages of scripture that is loaded with all kinds of truth. And one could stop verse by verse and actually have a message in and of itself. Because in those 10 verses, so much is being displayed for you and for me. As I was reading through these 10 verses, I was struck by 4 things. First, it was the courage and faith of the child's mother. Secondly, I was struck by the attentiveness and boldness of his sister. And thirdly, I was moved by the compassion of Pharaoh's daughter for that baby. And then the thing that just really caps it all off is the incredible timing of God. The incredible timing of God. In that section of scripture that we read, there were no names used in this narrative, only descriptions of the cast of characters that God would use to save the life of one baby boy. As critical as that is, no names are mentioned. He just kind of goes through and talks about specific individuals without naming them and describing their characteristics. You know, that's a lot like mama, ain't it? She is often not named, but instead, she's described and recognized by her motherly characteristics of courage, of unwavering faith, of attentiveness, boldness, compassion, and her patience to wait on God. That's what faithful mamas look like. That their names are not always up in lights, because much of what they do happens in the dark, happens in the midnight hours. It happens when no one else is watching, and praise be to God, she is not doing it for the praise of others. As I have been studying, reading, and praying this week, I've just been struck by God's choice of women. And I'm just thankful for them and how he does what he does. God says that I am going to work in the earth, but I'm going to use people to do my work and to do my bidding. And God determined that there will not be any growth in the human population unless I had women who are willing to participate with me. God determined that only women would have the privilege for him to work his magic, so to speak, to work his embroidery, so to speak, in their wombs. It is God's handiwork that takes place during that 9 months. And even if it is shortened because of some difficulty, what God starts, he always sees to completion. Amen. Minister Godwin. Praise the Lord. God has said that even though their names are not mentioned, they are essential to the work that he is going to do. These 10 verses provide for us the foundation of describing how God sent a deliverer to his people to free them from bondage and oppression. Now, he's doing a great work, but he's not mentioning any names. The only name that we see shows up at the end of the text, of that particular section, shows up at the end of the text when we see that she named the baby Moses. All the other players, as significant as they are, remain unnamed. But if they had not been positioned where they were to do what they had been called to do, Moses would not have been set up to do what God had commissioned him to do. I'm preaching somewhere. I don't know where, but I'm preaching somewhere. You should have put your hands together on that one and said, and you should have thought about the fact that God saw you when nobody else saw you. That no matter what conditions you were born in, that God had a plan for you, and he already prearranged everything that was needed to make sure that his purposes for you would be fulfilled. I like that about God. I like that about God. I like that God doesn't have to wait on you and me to get ourselves together to do what he's going to do. The reason I like that is because what I've discovered is that you and I don't have sense enough to get ourselves together. I know some of us think that we are intellectual giants. But you never, ever have the capacity to get yourself together without the help of God in your life. That's why when you're falling apart, you ought not stay away from God. That's a bad decision. Your life is a mess. You're in shambles. And you've decided, I'm going to stay away from God until I get myself together. Lord Jesus. Don't you know how your life got in a mess? Yeah. You've been trying to do it your way. Trying to follow somebody else's blueprint that was not designed for you. And as a result, you are a hot mess. And so I'm thankful that God does not wait on us to do it on our own. I'm thankful that everything serves God, and sometimes God will use whatever he needs to draw you and me, those who have been called, to draw us to him. Amen. You want to know why that trouble keeps knocking on your door? God is trying to get your attention. He's trying to get your attention. Affliction keeps coming your way. God is trying to get your attention because he wants you to move to a place where you are no longer relying upon yourself, but that you come to understand that the life that you have was given by him, not for you to do what you want to do, but so that you could glorify him. He wants you to move from your place of selfishness, from your place of pride, from your place of arrogance, and move to the place that you realize everything that you have comes from him. And so that when you acknowledge the much that you have, it turns into praise and adoration for the one who gave it. I'm thankful that he will use stuff to get our attention. And then I'm thankful that he'll use people to help those of us who don't have sense enough to see what God is doing, to help us understand that God is working in your situation right now. I used to have this really, really bad problem of not saying to people what I saw God doing in their lives and in their experiences. I had a really bad problem because I felt like people could recognize and understand the voice of the Lord just like I was hearing it. And so we would be in conversation and in dialogue, and I would be saying, well, what is the Lord saying? What do you sense the Lord saying? They are going in the wrong direction, and I'm saying, well, how does God feel about that? And I had to be convicted about that because I came to realize and to discover that sometimes they just don't know. Even though it is black and white in the word of God, Their understanding has been darkened by the enemy, and they are not able to process what has become plain and simple to the believer who is pursuing God on a regular basis. And when God allows an individual like that to cross your path, you ought to have the boldness to open up your mouth and say, well, let me tell you what I see. Amen. You ought to have the boldness with humility to speak truth in love. Not with arrogance, not with arrogance, but with love. Amen. And let me just be totally and completely honest and transparent, right? Not every one of your opinions is from the Lord. Amen. Just because you thought it, just because you think it, does not mean that that is a thought that has come from the Lord that you need to share with somebody. If you're going to be bold enough to share what God has given you, you got to be disciplined enough to spend time in the presence of God so that you filter out all the noise that is coming from you and from others. Amen. Because we want to be like Jesus. We only want to speak what our Father tells us to speak. Because you can speak the truth at the wrong time, and you will make a mess that God is going to have to clean up because you got all out of order. Amen. You can speak a truth to somebody you were not told to speak the truth to, and all of a sudden, you're going to bring disruption where God intended peace. That's why you and I have to be like Jesus. We need to seek to hear the voice of God and to follow his leading only. You ought not like your voice so much that you can't stop talking long enough to listen. You've heard it said, that's why God gave you one mouth and two ears so that you can what? Listen twice as much. Twice as much. Twice as much. The Apostle Paul said that you and I ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But we should be sober in our judgments. We need to be careful that we are bringing life and hope to people, not condemnation. Amen? And so I like that about God. I like that God is patient and he waits on us. I like that God doesn't wait for us to get it together, that he sends sometimes affliction and then other times he sends people. I like that God's plan for your life and for my life is going to be worked out and fulfilled as long as we allow him to have his way. Amen. These 10 verses again are setting the backdrop and the foundation for this incredible story about the life of a man called Moses, in which we know Moses was the deliverer of the Hebrew people from Egyptian slavery. And it didn't happen immediately. In fact, God is a very patient God. He's very patient. God puts a plan in motion and then he waits. For things to unfold according to his schedule. The people are oppressed. They've been waiting for a deliverer. They've been crying out to God. God says, I hear you. But when he shows up, there is not immediate, instant relief. God has chosen to work through a people. And in these first 10 verses, all we see is a description of them. Moses' mother had incredible courage. In verses 1 and 2, we discover that she's a Levite woman who becomes pregnant and she gives birth to a son. She's bold. She's courageous because during that particular time, she did not have the benefit of an ultrasound. And she has become pregnant during a difficult time in their history. Because the king of Egypt has determined that the Hebrew people have become too numerous. And forced labor wasn't stopping them from reproducing. They would be tired. But them women were still getting pregnant. Worked all day and all night. And needed a sedative to rest. So they could start all over the next day. And they continued to reproduce. The king of Egypt then says to the Hebrew midwives, I want you to kill them when those babies come out. Don't you let them live. Destroy them. The Hebrew midwives feared God and said, I don't care what the king says. I will not do what you are telling me to do. And when the king summoned them, they said to him, man, you just don't understand them Hebrew women. Those sisters are vigorous. By the time we show up, they done already delivered. Ain't nothing we can do. And the Bible says that because they feared God and honored God, that God then rewarded them with families of their own. Praise God. Praise God. When you fear God, when you honor him, listen, God will take care of you. When that strategy wasn't working, then the king said, I want you to take all those little Hebrew boys and throw them into the Nile. Throw them into the river. Get rid of them. And so when this mother becomes pregnant, I'm pretty sure she's praying, let it be a girl. Let it be a girl. I already got one that's a headache, but I don't mind having one more as long as I don't have to get rid of it. Let it be a girl. The text doesn't say that's what she's saying, but if I were to interject my own human perspective into it, that's what I would be thinking. Because every boy that is born, he already enters into his existence with trouble. So she's saying, please. But nonetheless, she delivers. She comes to term, she has a son, and then her courage says that she hid him for 3 months. That's courageous. The courage of a woman that is not named in this portion of the scripture. Because to be perfectly honest, courage doesn't need a name, does it? What courage needs is the type of action that follows through. That even when you're in the face of fear, you do that which is right. You do that which is honorable. You do that which will bring about well-being. You do that for which you were called to be and do. She was called to be a mother, and part of her job was protecting her children. So she had courage. She also had an unwavering faith. In that she took this baby boy, put him in a basket, and placed him in the Nile River. It says she placed him among the reeds with the hopes that someone would find him, rescue him, and keep him safe. That's called faith. You don't know what's going to happen on the other side of this action, but you're going to do it with the belief and expectation that the God that you serve, that the God who has been watching over you, is going to take care of that which belongs to you. So in her unwavering faith, she places him out in the middle of a place that seems to be unsafe with the expectation that the God who is ever present will keep watch over him and keep him safe. And then when I look at his sister, she is watching the basket. She's looking at the basket to see what will happen. So she's attentive, keeping an eye, taking a report back to mama. Ain't nothing happened yet. He's still there. And then when Pharaoh's daughter finally comes down, take a bath. Isn't it amazing what God does? God's timing, God's provision. You're going to send her down to take a bath right now at this precise location. And then when she gets there, all of a sudden, the baby starts to cry. Wait a minute, come on, y'all. I'm almost done. But I just need you for a moment to enter into the experience. Right now, we're too far removed from reading this old story that happened so long ago that you're not entering into the experience. You're not entering into the drama that was around a family giving birth to a son that they might have to give up. First of all, at the threat of murder. And secondly, to protect him, to allow him into the system. You're not there in the story yet. You're not feeling what this mother is feeling. You're not feeling what this sister is feeling as she's watching. You're not seeing the hand of God at work in the middle of it all, doing some things that can only be explained by the movement of God. This is no ordinary event. This is God showing his providence, showing that when he moves, there is nothing that can stop his movement, showing that he is a God who can be trusted. And if you put your life in his hands, that he will take care of you. This is a God that when you begin to look at this story, it should just make you shake your head in unbelief and marvel at how God can use anybody. Even those who are supposed to be in the enemy's camp, God can use them for your good. It's the kind of story that should make you stop worrying about all of the stuff that's going on around you and position you to a place of, God, I just want you. Because I know that God, if I'm covered by you, you've got all the other details taken care of. You're seeing a woman who walks out in courageous, unwavering faith, not knowing what the outcome is going to be, but knowing that God, who is the author and finisher of her faith, has already laid out a plan. And if he's watched the baby this long, he'll keep on watching the baby. Oh, glory. Glory to God. You and I need to enter in and just see what God does with unnamed people that remain essential. I've attached that to mothers, right? Because sometimes you are unnamed, but you are absolutely essential. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know that your children do not understand the depth of your sacrifice, but their failure to acknowledge your sacrifice and your worth does not mean that you are not essential. The inability of another person to recognize your worth does not diminish the value of who you are. And I just want you to know today that you are essential to the move of God. You are essential to the plan of God. You are essential to the working of God's plan in the lives, not only of your children, but in the lives of other children as well. And you need to take your position seriously. Amen. Whether it is received or rejected, you need to take your position seriously. Having the privilege to be a mama? Oh my goodness. It is something worthy of praise. In fact, Proverbs 31, you remember when he goes through and Lemuel talks about all the characteristics of a noble wife with character. He gets down to the end and he says, let them give her her praise. Let them give her the reward she deserves because of what she has done in providing for her family. Don't take it for granted that you, even though you are not named, are not important. Amen? Here's what I want you to know, is that what others don't see, God sees. What others don't recognize, God recognizes. What others fail to praise you for, God has been keeping record for them. Amen. And even when others fail to say thank you, even when they are ungrateful when they should be grateful, God still sees you. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you, don't let distance from your kids. Don't let disappointment from your kids pull your heart down. In fact, I want to encourage you today to just celebrate the fact that God chose to use you. That's what I want you to do. I want you to choose today to no longer look at the outcome. Amen? See, that's the problem. Sometimes we're too busy looking at the outcome and we start to shake our heads and we start to say, what did I do wrong? Stop it. Stop it. You don't know the end of the story. Come on. Stop it. Stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. Stay in the place of where you are just bold enough to believe that God can do more than I can ask, think, or imagine. Stay in the moment where you believe that God is able to deliver from the darkest pit. And he can elevate and raise up and give blessing, glory, and honor. I want you to stay in the moment where you just celebrate the fact that God chose to use you. You. Some to bring birth. Some to nurture those who had who you did not birth, but became a part of your family, some that you have adopted, some that you have fostered, some that is unofficial, but you've been mama all along. Celebrate the fact that God chose to use you, and recognize this important point, that if he chose to use you, he's yet has work for you to do in that individual's life. Amen. This is where you and I take it to the next level, because when we have done all that we can do, because after 3 months, the mother could do no more. After 3 months, she had to put him in the now. After 3 months, she had to trust to wait and see what was going on. So after she had done all that she could do, she put him in the Nile and waited, and God showed up. Now, while she was waiting, what did you think she was doing? Oh, come on now. What was she doing? She was praying. She was a praying mama. When do mamas ever stop praying for their kids? Yeah, you don't stop. You don't throw in the towel. You keep praying for them, because you are waiting for God to move to fulfill his plan and his mission. And let me tell you, God is able to do things that you and I cannot figure out. He is able to move and work in ways that bring glory and honor to his name and his name alone. You got to be a praying mama. Not just like this woman, but you got to be a praying mama like Hannah. You remember Hannah? Hannah was the woman who didn't have any kids, but she began praying to God for kids. And she said to God, "Give me a son, I'll give him back to you." Hannah was an honest woman who said that if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And when God answered her prayer, she did not go back on her word. She took her child and devoted him and dedicated him to the Lord. And when she did what she said she was going to do, God opened up her womb and gave her more children, because that's just what God does. So you've got to be a praying mother, because your prayers make a difference when you're praying to the right God. This family welcomes a deliverer that God would use to set his people free from Egyptian slavery. It points toward another deliverer, whom God would use yet another woman to bring forth life into the earth. Because God has determined there will be no life unless it comes forth by what? A woman. And so on a particular day, God sends an angel to talk to a woman by the name of Mary, and says to Mary, "You have been highly favored, and I have chosen you so that you can bring a deliverer into the earth." Mary, in response to the opportunity to do this amazing thing, says yes to the angel. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." God then watches over Mary. He causes Mary to be impregnated. Mary, after 9 months, brings forth a baby. And the angel speaks to Joseph, the father, the baby's earthly father, and says to him, "You are to give him the name Jesus." Why? Because he is going to be a deliverer. Why? Because he is going to save his people from their sins. Then Jesus comes forth, and you know well how he has delivered. He did not go back and confront the one who was holding us captive. He actually went to a cross so that he could. He went to the cross and gave of himself so that he could be the one to set us free and to redeem us from the devil and of the enemy. And thanks be to God, because of Mary's obedience, there was a vehicle that was being used to bring life into the earth. And because of Jesus' obedience, he stayed there. He died on a cross so that you and I could have a right to the tree of life. And because of Jesus, Even when I was essential before, now I become more essential. Because of Jesus, not only can I have the right and privilege to deal with earthly life, but now I can welcome men and women into the kingdom of God, sharing with them that though they were lost, he sent someone to find you. That though you have a debt that you couldn't pay, he sent someone to pay your debt. And though your sins may be as scarlet, he has come to wash you and make you whiter than snow. This Jesus that God would send would be the one that will enable you and me to be more than overcomers, because it was him who defeated death, hell, and the grave. And because of this Jesus, there is no weapon that can be levied against you, that can be formed against you, that will prevent God's plan from being fulfilled in your life. Brothers and sisters, on this day, I invite you to celebrate the bigness of who Jesus is and the fact that he has loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son so that you and I may have abundant life, eternal life, and be in right relationship with God. Amen. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we thank you today for this incredible narrative and story that speaks about how you used unnamed people to do, God, your bidding. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that, Lord, if no one else knows our names, you know our name. And that if we're not important to anyone else, we're important to you. Because you created us with purpose. You knitted us together in our mother's wombs. You did your handiwork, your embroidery inside her womb, and made us who we are. And for that, God, we say thank you. Thank you for using, God, our mothers as instruments so that you could do your work in us. And thank you, Father, that when you had completed your work of embroidery, that God, she brought forth your work. You have watched over our lives. You have kept us safe, provided us, God, with direction. Help us today, Father, to have new appreciation for the life that you've given us. Help us today, Father, to acknowledge that without Jesus Christ, we are lost and we are condemned. And give us, God, the boldness to come to you through him and accept the gift of life that you offer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to pause for just a moment to give you an opportunity on this day to make him your Lord. It's really easy. The Word of God says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What that means is that you will be in right relationship with God. Jesus declares that he is the only way to the Father. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. You must believe that he lived. You must believe that he died. And when he died not because he was guilty, but because you were guilty. You must believe that his death paid for what your sins owe. The wages of sin is death. Then you must believe that he did not stay dead, but God raised him from the dead. And he lives. Jesus lives. And so on this day, I invite you that if you never trusted him, if you've never opened up your mouth and declared him as Lord, if you've never believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can do that today. Give your heart to him. Say to him, I just want you. That's you today. I want to pause just for another moment and allow you to come forth and acknowledge that. Don't be bothered by these individual people. They love you and they are going to celebrate the fact that you, your eyes have been opened and your heart has been made ready to receive your Savior. So if you're here, you want to trust Jesus today, will you come? Acknowledge him as Lord, Son of God who died so that you might live.
Father God, we thank you so much for allowing us to gather this day.
Yeah.
And what this day means for us, Father God, just to honor and glorify you, your wonderful, matchless name.
Yes, God.
Father God, to honor and glorify your sacrifices on the cross.
Yeah.
Father God, to say thank you for the things that we don't deserve.
Thank you, Lord.
But you pour upon us freely the mercy and the grace and the love that you set forth. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. We thank you, Father God, for mothers.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, natural mothers, foster mothers, adoptive mothers, grandmothers, aunties, Father God, all those who have the mother or motherly role, we thank you for the women you set forth to be mothers to their children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews. Father God, to the foster kids and the adoptive children that they've had around the world, we thank you for giving them the strength.
Thank you, Lord.
To go forth. The courage.
Yeah, yeah.
To go forth. To sacrifice. And to work. And to care for all those who need them. Father God, we pray a special blessing for our mothers today.
Yes, God.
Help them continue the work on this earth until you call them home. Help them, Father God, to go forth. And be those nurturers, those lovers, providers, those doctors, those nurses, those cheerleaders, those therapists, those motivational speakers, Father God. Most importantly, those caregivers. Not only for children, but for everybody who needs the gospel. May they be conduits, vessels of the gospel. May it spread through their actions and their love. It's your mighty name that we pray. Amen.